I'll do like, be brief, brother, be brief. The five B's of preaching. I wish that you could know what it feels like when you struggle and then the Lord puts something in your heart. And listen, I've studied in John this week and just had no peace about that, but Romans chapter 4. And we'll look in verse number 17 is where we'll start at. The Bible says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. We're talking about Abraham here. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Watch this, what the Bible says about Abraham. He staggered not at the promises of God. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. He even tells us how we stagger at the promises of God. Amen. Through unbelief. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Heavenly Father, please bless the reading of your word. Use it, Lord, for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach to you real quick on standing on the promises. Standing on the promises. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to his glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I've looked around this room this morning and I've seen many of you who have raised your hand, and I've watched some of you testify, and I've watched our choir sing. And I want to tell you what you was rejoicing about. You were rejoicing over the promises that God has given you and that He kept in your life. Amen. Child of God, you can rejoice over the promises that God has given to us. We can stand on those promises. They are sure. They are steadfast. They are not going to move. He's not going to do any take backs. He's not going to take something away from you that He's already given to you. Thank God we can stand on the Word of God and the promises that are contained therein, God's Holy Scriptures. And so, as I said, I'm going to give you the condensed version. Y'all ready? We're going to go fast through this. I know y'all are worried about the tacos. They're not going to run out of them. Amen? Yeah, and if they do, there's San Andreas, there's La Finca, there's, La Finca's in Carrollton. You drive to Carrollton if you want to. Amen? There's La Fiesta. Amen? My nephew used to call that Floppy Nester. Amen? What's the one? You can go to the Bomba up here. You can go anywhere. You can go to the Golden Corral. It's still going to be open when we get done. I guess what I'm trying to say is we got plenty of food here in the United States of America, and you'll be all right. You won't be too famished, I promise. Amen? All right, here we go. Point number one, the first promise you can stand on is the promise of God's faithfulness. Amen? We've got the promise that God will be faithful. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful.
faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. No matter what you go through, no matter what you face, no matter what kind of temptations come your way, there's not going to be a temptation that's going to come in your life that God hadn't already made a way for you to get out of it. Now, whether or not you'll stand out of it or whether or not you'll go after the temptation, that'll be up to you, friend of mine. You'll make that decision in the moment. Would to God that you'd make a decision this morning that anything that come in your life, anything that come in your way, anything that would destroy you, any sin that would come in your life, that you would make up your mind this morning that the faithfulness of God is greater than the temptation. It is more rewarding than what you'll get out of whatever it is you're chasing after, and that God is faithful enough to bring you through. 1 Corinthians 1:9 said, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. You don't mind a little Bible in the message, do you? Isaiah 25:1 said, O Lord, Thou art my God, I will exalt Thee. I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Amen. Isaiah 49:7, Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and His Holy One, to Him whom man despiseth, to Him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes shall also worship, because of the Lord, that He is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, He shall choose thee. Lamentations 3. Y'all didn't think I was going to leave that one out, did you? Amen. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. And then, oh, that old crying preacher, oh, Brother Jeremiah, as he was lamenting there in the book of Lamentations, said this in the middle of him crying. Y'all understand that? In the middle of his sorrow, in the middle of his heartbreak, in the middle of discouragement, in the middle of upset being, in the middle of all of his trouble, he said, great is thy faithfulness. Woo! Thy mercies are new every morning. I better not put them things back on. Y'all blurry. That way if you're getting that ugly at me, I can do this and I can't see none of you. Thank God in the middle of Jeremiah's sorrow. That's what that book, Lamentations, that's what that means, to lament, to cry, to call out to God. In the middle of those, Brother David, he thanked God for His faithfulness. My, you get slap dab in the middle of discouragement and downtroddenness and upset and frustrated and angry and mad and hurt, and you can look back at God and say, even though these things are coming in my life, God's been faithful to this old boy, this old girl. Amen. I'll just have a time by myself if y'all want. Thank God for the faithfulness and for the promise of God's faithfulness. There's another one. We have the promise of God's love. John 3 and verse number 16. For God so loved the world. You take this world and you look at the disgusting, worthless things that are in it. That's what God loves. To the drunkard on the street, to the drug addict, amen, to the prisoner, to those in sin's prison, to those who have not ever trusted in the Lord and they hate God and are against God, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That, you said it a little while ago, whosoever. We preach a whosoever gospel, but we give a maybe-so gospel. Shame on us for deeming who's worthy of salvation and who ain't. Oh my, you ought to just kick back and let God do His work, amen? You see somebody on the street, they might not look like you, they might not dress like you, they might not act like you, they may not talk and walk like you do, but you know what they need? They need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love that God can give. They need a church that'll show them some love while they're in the midst of their sin, amen? I sure do like it, and I hope this has been the experience with a lot of visitors around here. Let me tell you something this morning. I want you to come in the Gateway and be loved, amen? Amen? I want Gateway to love on you. I told Brother David, we'd stand up here and say, get that microphone out and tell them folks to go to somebody they don't know. Amen. You a Gateway regular, we need to let them know they love. We don't know what these people face this week. We don't know what they've been through. We don't know what kind of heartaches that they're bringing in the church. There ought to be a church that shows the love of God. For God so loved the world, we ought to too. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. John 16:27, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, amen, and gave himself for me. Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 13 said that when he did that, greater love had no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. I'm glad he is a friend to me when I wasn't no friend to him. John 17:23 said, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And then I like the Song of Solomon. We scared of that book. The Baptist church is. Y'all need to get unafraid of scriptures. In the Song of Solomon, we read, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Boy, we've got the promise of God's love. Amen. We got the promise that we can stand on of God's grace. Y'all still with me, ain't you? Y'all having to write fast this morning. I'm having me a good time. I got the notes. I'll give them to you when you're done. Amen. When I'm done. Romans 5:20, moreover, the law entered. The law entered. Moses wrote the law commanded by God. And the law entered into the world. And by the law, men knew transgressions. You ride down the road and there's no posted speed limit, you wouldn't know you're speeding unless you see a sign that says speed limit 55. And I know you good Christian folks look down at your speedometer and you see that you are in fact running 65 in that 55 mile per hour zone. And because you want to honor God and keep everybody safe, you just back off the throttle. We wouldn't know. Time out. For Brother Canaan, we back off the electricity. Time in. Man. Hey, I can do that with him. He knows. We look at those things and we realize that we're breaking the law. We realize we're transgressing the law. We realize we're doing something. And then old Justin pulls up behind us and chases us with flashing lights. And he's been trained how to chase. So you're not going to win. And he informs us, you broke the law. You knew you broke the law, but you needed somebody to tell you that you'd broke the law. The law established sin. It was our schoolmaster that told us that we had sin in our hearts and in our lives, what the law done. And moreover, the law entered that sin might abound. But where sin abounded, the Bible says grace does much more abound. And while the law says you're guilty, and the law says you've committed a crime, and the law says throw the book at them, they deserve the stiffest punishment available. While the law says do everything bad, the lawyer of grace steps into the courtroom and says, I'm here to plead their cause. And I've paid the price already. And for the sin they've committed and the transgression they've committed, there's grace and forgiveness and mercy and love. We've got this promise of God's grace. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. There's an old song that says, under grace my sin is gone. The chief accuser's lost the war. The record of my sin erased, buried deep under grace. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, and he said unto me, my grace. Isn't that what he said, Sunday school class? My grace is sufficient for thee. Ephesians 2:7 said that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Ephesians 3:8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. James 4:6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. 1 Peter 4:10, as every man had received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. 2 Peter 3:18, y'all thought I was done, didn't you? 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and forever. Amen. 2 Peter 1:2, grace and peace be multiplied. Revelation 22:21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. There's plenty of scripture to back up, and I just gave you several examples to back up the promise God's grace. We got one last one, child of God. Y'all held on real good now. It's only 12:30. Hallelujah. We all right? We get done at 12:30. There's some people still in church at 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They still just a-going. We've got the promise. Watch this, church. Of his peace. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above, sweeps over my soul. Oh man, thank God for the peace in our tempestuous, turbulent times. God gives peace. Psalm 29:11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means, and the Lord be with you all. What a great privilege we have to have these promises that are sure. The promise of peace, the promise of grace, the promise of God's faithfulness, the promise of God's love. These are promises, Christian, that you can stand on. You can stand on when you feel like you ain't loved. Uh-huh. We all get there. Let's just have us a heart-to-heart this morning. That'd be all right. You ever sinned against God, Brother David, and just felt like, well, he's done? I remember when I resigned from the other congregation that I pastored, I walked out of that church. I was defeated. One of my good missionary friends had died that weekend, and I knew that I was going to go to the funeral home and see him. And I thought, man, I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. And his son-in-law was a pastor. He is a pastor still. And I was walking by getting ready to go to the casket. And as I walked up, his son-in-law grabbed me and pulled me in. And he said, God loves you. And he's not done with you. And I walked out of that funeral home still defeated, still discouraged. I got in my car and I drove home. And I thought, man, he's done. He's done. This is it. I'm done. Before I got home, I got a phone call that said, hey, I want you to come minister to my people. You think you're done. You think nobody cares and nobody loves you, Brother Todd. And then God sends a Frogger poster along. You think nobody's listening. You think nobody cares. And God sends encouragement along. Why? Because he made us some promises. And his word is sure and steadfast. And he always keeps his word. He don't go back on his promises. He don't redesign things. He don't go over things again. He don't recalculate the losses. He's already paid the ultimate price. And so he's well able to keep the promises that he makes to you and I. Promises that are found in the Word of God, sis. Promises that are found. Promises that are found in the Word of God. Not my words, but what he said. Not what I can produce, but what he has produced. Thank God. Y'all come get us a song of invitation. Maybe there's some of you need to use these altars. Whatever it may be, you've got these promises. Whether or not you've been standing on the promises is up to you. You stand on the promises of God's faithfulness. Preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. Yeah, you might be surprised. I might have a pretty good idea what you're going through. Preacher, you don't know what I face today. I might know more than what you think. God's well able. Would you stand with us this morning?